Hello.
Hello, Holly. Sorry about that.
Okay.
So, yeah. Getting back to our conversation. Okay, so you cleared that. This is basically what was my main concern, that this was clashing with what I was reading. So that's why I decided to ask is how this is going to be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I understand. I do not like this format at all of what you sent me. I don't like it at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's first person. The descriptive writing is nice. The first person, though, perspective is limiting. There's no dialogue to move the story along or character development
yes.
through action.
I do understand. What I'm giving you is just a writing sample, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We write according to the person's requirement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the person's name as listed, the client name is Elsa Helmerian, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is
mm-hmm.
basically her own biography. That's why it's first person perspective, okay? That's what's
mm-hmm.
the requirement. Since you say you're requiring a third person,
mm-hmm.
the writing style is going to be third person. Relatively, there's a difference. The requirement of your dialogues could be different from what the other person's requirement dialogue is. That's why I already told
mm-hmm.
you, in order to grasp your understanding of what you prefer, for the first two or three drafts might not be satisfactory because it takes time for the team to understand what exactly you need.
Right, right.
Yeah. I just gave you a what was recently being done. So I picked up
right.
It's not even complete at this time, but this is what was recently being done. So I just picked it up from another colleague of mine, and I sent it to you.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I'm getting really reluctant with this whole process because, I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's like I'm thinking about really just surrendering my package, letting you guys just keep the money, and I think I want to write this on my own. I just want to make sure that there's some way that I can ensure to keep my characters.
Well, from our side, I can assure you there's nothing to worry about.
Oh. Well, I don't know.
Copyrights is not a requirement. The reason why we always talk about that is because after we're done with the book, we give it to you, it's published,
uh-huh.
everything's done. If you don't have the copyright, someone still has, and someone else claims the book and files copyrights, you won't be able to do anything about it.
Right, I understand. I mean, and I'm actually concerned that, you know, my characters will be show up in someone else's book. So I'm just not really sure with this whole process right now. I'm getting completely honest. I'm not at all satisfied.
I understand that. But even if you yourself are to write this entire book,
uh-huh.
if you don't get that document or whatever intellectual property that is copyrighted, you're still going to be stuck in the same possible issue.
No, I intend to get a copyright, but I can do that myself for $55 as opposed to $11,000, and it's for the rest of my life. So I can also get my own ISBN for $125.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, I'm just not sure about this right now. I'm very, very reluctant at this point.
About what? Feel free to talk. It's okay because we do get concerns like this that people are not
mm-hmm.
comfortable with us writing because it's going to be writing from scratch. And since there's a lot that can go wrong with that, so talk to me. What's the matter?
Well, you know, I'm almost wondering, I think part of it is I really want to write this myself
mm-hmm.
with just, like, someone to give me suggestions and feedback and like peer review, mm-hmm. and not so much as someone else actually doing it for me.
Mm-hmm.
The second concern that I have is I really want my spiritual viewpoint to be represented, and that's going to be hard for anyone to do. Anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Frances Rivers herself, and it's going to be hard for her to express, you know, what I'm trying to express spiritually through
mm-hmm.
her, you know, because it's not her view. So that I'm highly concerned with. I'm highly concerned with quality, and I'm also highly concerned with exuberant prices. So, that's my frustration levels right now, and that's where I'm kind of standing.
Mm-hmm.
Because initially I was told that it would just be an approximation, but what I could expect is what I paid for those writing services.
Mm-hmm.
And I never intended for someone else to complete the whole book. I always intended for it to be more of a partnership.
Mm-hmm.
And then I expect for a small package for marketing, like 20. So, you know, that's kind of what I had in mind. And for someone to quote me $12,000 for copyright, that's not something I could ever afford. Nor do I understand it. Once you're copyrighted, you don't have to do it.
I understand. I see. So. Well, you can just, you know, talk to Daniel and tell him that you were going to do that by yourself. It's not really an issue, but in terms of writing, how about, it's more or less an option. It depends on you, seriously. Because we can start developing samples for you, and at some point where you want to continue writing by yourself, where you have a good grasp on the book,
uh-huh.
continue writing from there.
Okay, I'm listening.
So, again, we can just continue our the pace where we were at, where I'll give you a call every week, we'll discuss a chapter, and then we'll start working on that chapter for you. So, basically, we'll form a base for each chapter for you to write on. So, once we give you a completed draft, you can edit it according to your, you know, perspectives and give your touch to it. So you can make it your own then, the way you want it written.
Well, with what I'm seeing in front of me, I know it's a perspective.
Because that is what we do. Like, Holly, that is what we do. We give a draft to, when we're mostly ghostwriting, if it's not purely supposed to be ghostwritten, then what we do is we come up with a draft, okay, and
mm-hmm.
we send it to you, okay? You
mm-hmm.
edit it according to your preferences, and whatever
mm-hmm.
you want inside, once you complete that draft, you send it back to us, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We just give it a proofread, check for grammars, and it's considered an approved draft. So that's one or half a chapter done. Then we give you
mm-hmm.
the next draft. So what it makes, basically it makes your life easier in terms of just sitting down and completely thinking about writing the entire story. We give you a draft in which you can work on more easily. That's mostly how ghostwriting works with us. Sometimes
okay.
it does happen, like we have a few clients, like the one I just sent you. They basically
mm-hmm.
gave us a small manuscript of, let's say, 5 pages, and we had
mm-hmm.
to elaborate from there. And at this point, I think this is 70-something pages.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. It's very descriptive, but it's just not the style that I'm looking for as far as, you know, there's really no character development because it's, you know, about her. So
it's a biography, so that's...
Yeah. So you can't have that. So I would, you know, before I could make any type of decision, I would need to see something fictional from a third person point of view.
Something fictional. Okay.
Now Daniel had sent me a link of a book that I read, and he said it was a Christian romance novel. He said the company had helped get it published.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't know if it was ghostwritten or not. He didn't specify. He just said
which
it was something.
Which book are you talking about?
Let me see if I can find it for you. Let's see. I'm sorry. I'm trying to get to my...
No problem.
Okay. It is... The Carpenter's Mail Order Dilemma by... Hold on. Let me see if I can open it. Carla Gracely.
Mm-hmm.
And now, before I even, you know, I bought that book and read it before I even bought a package, So that is kind of more of what I was expecting. This doesn't even go as deep as I want it to go, but I figured, you know, that input was going to have to come from me. So...
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of more what I had in mind.
Ah, okay, okay. But it I basically just picked up currently written draft, which is currently being written, and it kind of depends on what your perspective
right.
is going to be. That how the story develops. I have other samples if you want of. Books that have already been published.
Right, but if the person's not going to be doing my book, it's not going to really matter. So, but that's just where I'm standing. I'm really kind of thinking that maybe I should not have done this and I should just do this myself. But I don't want to lose my characters and everything that I've developed so far. So I'm just going to have to, I don't know.
You don't have to worry about the characters. I'm going to be 100% honest with you. You don't have to worry about any information that you've given us at this time. We're not going to do anything with it, and it's yours. We have written enough books to, I'd say, you know, we've been writing for quite a while. But I'm not sure how to convince you. I'm not sure how to convince you on this that we've been ghostwriting books for a pretty long while now. And this usually isn't a problem.
Oh, well, I will tell you I'm gun shy because I have written 3 or 4 short stories,
mm-hmm.
and I was in a reading critique group.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a beautiful short story that was really, really, really well written. I'm proud of myself that what the product that I completed.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting ready to submit it for publication, and all of a sudden it showed up in somebody else's publication. So this is why I'm...
Now I understand
yeah.
that you have some, you're not just scared, but you have genuine concerns because this has happened before.
Yes.
That's something you should have told me before. I would have tried much harder in terms of convincing you that we're not going to do anything with your data.
Yeah, that's why.
Okay, open Amazon. Open Amazon bookstore. Let me show you something.
Open Amazon. Okay, hold on. And she took all my characters and everything. I mean, everything.
That's why. Because we have seen this. We originally didn't actually try to tell our customers, our clients, about copyrights before. We weren't actually actively promoting that. The reason we started doing that is because this started happening. That people kept losing their books or have to fight cases after we're done with the book. So when that happened, a few of our clients, we actually started promoting this because it would somehow come back to us. Although it's not a problem that we were concerned with at that time, but it started hitting us that you guys didn't tell us this, you guys didn't mention this, now we have this problem. Like, how's that related to us? That wasn't related, but then we started, you know, actively saying that you should get copyrights before these kind of things happen. So you have something to show for it, and all the work we put in doesn't get thrown back right as.
Right, because it could affect you negatively as well.
Yeah, because in the end, like, they would go like, this could have come from you guys. Like, this isn't us. This isn't us doing it. Some you uploaded it. It's your problem at this time. We wrote everything down.
Right. Well, and then no one else has access to Teamworks except for you and I and your boss.
Even in the mentions, like if you were given writing separate messages, unless my boss specifically goes and open it, she won't even get a notification for it. That's how secure Teamwork is. It's basically it's not our platform. It's a platform that multiple companies use.
Right. It's like Microsoft Teams or whatever.
Yeah, it's like that.
It's a general platform. Yeah. I'm just scared because I really do want copyright, but I can't afford $11,000, and I don't understand. You should only have to copyright one time unless there's a republication. So I don't understand all that. So
if you can talk to Daniel, Ken, just voice your concerns. Talk to him and feel free about it. We aren't, you know, there's no information that they keep hidden from you guys because it's your right to ask any questions that you have. So you can go ahead, ask any questions, have any concerns that you have, and let him look into it.
But to go, well, that's what I'm voicing with you. And then one other question I had that I'm just confused on. I believe that once this was ready for publication and we went through marketing and everything, and then my main source of publication is probably just going to be on Amazon. Maybe, you know, if it gets picked up for a bookstore, wonderful. But I didn't think I was going to have to pay any or share royalties. I thought all royalties would be mine.
Which royalty are you talking about?
Royalties on my book.
When it comes to Amazon, when it comes to Amazon, any writer doesn't get 100% royalty. If you are to upload yourself, we don't take anything. We don't get anything out of whatever Amazon's going to sell. Amazon takes a specific cut of everything that it sells.
I figured that. But I thought in addition to there was going to be royalties for your team as well.
No. In terms of publication, that's all you. That's going to be all you.
Okay, that's what he meant. That's why I was confused. Okay.
Yeah, you can find any book written. Like, I can give you names of books that are on Amazon that have been written by us from scratch, and you won't even see our name anywhere on Amazon.
Yeah, I know. Okay, that's where I was confused, and I wasn't
we actually
stuttering
take it
about
when
that.
we're going up to like when if I if we are to write and complete this book for you, when we go towards publication, we're gonna take your account information because that's what we're supposed to give to Amazon. So Amazon's gonna directly transfer everything, in this case the royalties, to that account directly. It's gonna be on your email. It's gonna be on your account. So. That's how that works. You can't even add two accounts on Amazon unless there's like it's a group of writers or it's like published by a company.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like in terms of children books, there's the illustrator and there's the author.
Mm-hmm.
In those case scenarios, Amazon is like, yeah, we can, you know, input this and that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No problem. The point, I understand your concerns now because you've had a bad experience.
Yeah. I mean, it was a really, really good short story. And I'm an English teacher, and I grade lots of stuff. And I edit lots of stuff.
Yeah.
So, I was really proud of it. I was ready to publish. I was getting ready to submit it to, like, Reader's Digest, a whole bunch of other places. And it literally showed up it was my sister. So,
wow. The one that writes erotica.
Yes. She took my character, she took everything. She did help me with the dialogue, because that's my weak point, is dialogue. And my dialogue can get very dry. So she helped me word it a little bit better. So I guess she thought since she did that, she had rights to it. I don't know. But we are no longer speaking. So.
Wow.
That was my concern, and that's why I'm having hesitation, and you're having to continually calm me about this, so that's why.
It's no problem. It's fine.
Okay. But back to my character. Let's see. I'm trying to find that. I'm not calling compared to Conan. Oh, I guess I'm putting my comments in the wrong spot. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you... I'm going back to...
Go to messages you've written. This is supposed to be Lily, you know, Lily Bird Hastings background.
I'm not used to this dashboard yet. Or this.
No, it's okay. It's fine.
Unread messages. Okay. How do I just get messages? Messages. Okay. All right. So, Lilibeth. Okay. I didn't get, okay. This is what I said. I originally had Lily Beth as a political science major in Boston. I think her background will work better as a marketing communications major in Massachusetts, who is working her way through college by working as a barista in a local coffee house chain.
Yep.
She will be in her senior year, close to her final semester, when her mother unexpectedly dies, and therefore she will be unable to graduate, but will be able to fall on her educational training, when she must return to take over the inherited coffee house her mother left her. So that's why she's in Boston, Massachusetts, and that's where she meets Chase, too. So, and he's in Boston as well.
Yeah, that's what I got that. That wasn't the problem. The only confusion I was having is, can you open the file that you sent me, the book ID of where I belong? Open that up and go to page 3. That's the description of Lily.
Okay. Oh man. All right. My computer. Okay. Graduated from college, disillusioned with a major, political science, but maybe communications. Lily's mother owned a coffee house. All right, where is the problem?
No, below. Page 3, where a little bit, just the picture.
Oh,
and
her
description.
Description.
Yeah.
Lilbeth is a 26-year-old coffee house owner who enjoys playing cards.
Second paragraph and second line. That's what confused me when it came to your message. Because according to this line, it kind of looks like she finished high school and then that was it.
She finished partial college, or she almost finished college and then left academia. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, she finished, I'll just put, she almost finished her bachelor's degree. She's in her senior.
Add the message here and then we'll tweak it. So, well, whenever, also instead, and I also think I commented this in the, as a reply to your comment, that it's better for us to edit the file, like the book ID where I belong, rather than sending each other messages on this. Like, this is possible, this is possible. So if the file goes back and forth between us, we'll have the same copy and we'll carry the same information. Okay?
Do you want us to do comments?
No, I'm not saying. It's better to not do comments, better to rework the file rather than do comments.
Oh, okay, opposite. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, okay, I've added this on my end. I actually entered your entire comment over here. So that's Calibri 11. Okay. Set to Calibri 11. There we go. And she's vegan.
You could take that out. I don't really care if she's vegan or not.
Okay.
I was just trying to add more detail.
It's fine. She can be vegan. That's not a problem.
I don't care. Half the people that are vegan are only vegan part time anyway. So.
Yep. That's true. So, okay, we have this added here. I originally called it one. So her background is going to be a marketing and communications major, not a political science major, correct?
Okay. I think it'll serve her better when she has to become her own business owner.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we'll keep her as a marketing communications major in Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
Who's working her way through college, working as a barista in a local coffee chain.
Mm-hmm.
So her coffee and experience is going to help her out with the cafe, and managing the restaurant is going to be helped out by marketing and communications.
Exactly.
And she'll be in the senior, close to her final semester, and she's 26 years old.
Wait, that would make her 24.
Yeah, that is what I was thinking. She's in her senior year, and she's 26.
She'll have to be 24.
Yeah, let's edit that. I'm editing the file on my end, and I'll send you the edited file so you have the same file as me, okay?
Okay.
And speaking physically you can define whatever you want. You can make any changes. Okay, and Chase.
I wanted to see the picture in the background. Okay, Chase.
Let's see. Chase is fine. I think you mentioned a change in chapter 10, I think, right?
Yeah.
For Max, Max realizes that he almost loses Lily. That's why he then decides to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's going to be added for chapter 9, I think, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Let's see, where does that go on a comment? Yes. Max realizes he could have lost Lily and realizes he's in love with her. Wait, how would... Wouldn't that clash with the concept we currently have? Because in chapter 9, we said Max's background is revealed. And Lily soon falls in love with Max, and together they form a relationship. And we leave it on the cliffhanger where Chase returns.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood your notes. Okay, gotcha.
Uh-huh.
I like
also,
that. Well, shouldn't, uh-huh. But should it, the, in romance, the guy always has, the girl always has to get the guy, or the guy always has to get the girl, or you're going to make your reader mad. Oh, serious. You want to piss off a romance reader. Don't let him get their love interest. And then they'll never pick up my books again.
True, true. But no, a lot of people like the a dark ending as well.
In a Christian romance?
Yeah, that's a different story, but I'm just saying in general.
Yeah.
When it comes to this book, I don't think that's the best of ideas.
I mean, maybe it could be where they decide that they like each other and they're starting, I don't know, they start to develop a friendship.
Book two, wasn't book two about starting a family together, right? There you go.
Honestly, I can't remember.
Transformation. We focus on the... No, it's in book three. So book two is going to eventually end up with them getting married, I assume.
Right, and so book two is actually the development of Max and Lily's relationship. So a cliffhanger would be good, but I would just need like a... what they call that. It's not an introduction, but it's the opposite, where it's on the end of the book, and it just gives you like a prelude to the next book.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
So, yeah, then it makes sense, right, that we don't elaborate too much about the relationship in the book. That's why her relationship starts at chapter 9, and the cliffhanger for that chapter is going to be the return of Chase.
Okay.
And then chapter 10, well, Chase, you know, Max and Chase, whatever happens in chapter 10 leads to Chase being, let's say in this case, defeated.
Right.
And Max and Lily get back together, and, well, what happens, happens.
Right. I just need to somehow let the reader know that they are either together or almost together.
There's one way we can do this. That could be the end of chapter. Rather than saying that they start a relationship in chapter 9, we can say they like each other, but none of them say it at this point. Kind of like unrequited at this point, because they both believe, yeah, she can't be in love with me. He's like, nah, that's not possible.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
We could put it in this way. Since Max has been friends with Zoe for so long, Lily assumes that Max likes Zoe.
Yes, I like that, because that's always going to be a little bit of a tension there anyway that I wanted.
Yeah.
Because everybody thinks they're together and they're not. And they have to constantly explain it.
Exactly, exactly. But Lily being her best friend and never wanting the exact answer doesn't, you know, get the courage to ask Zoe if they're actually together or not.
Correct. Yeah.
But in the end of chapter 10, when Max is going to fight for Lily, fight Chase for Lily, that would prove a lot. And then, you know, it could be either Lily expressing her love for Max or Max expressing her love for Lily is what starts the relationship. And book two can be that its development.
Yes, that's exactly what I intended. I may not have had that clear at the moment, but that's what I intend now.
Okay, so let's see. With Max, and let me edit that, this as well, then vice versa. However, they do not express it. To each other given. The friendship. Lily assumes that Max likes Zoe. And because this would make a lot of sense then if Chase, the return of Chase would then actually cause a lot of problems for Max, because they're not even actually in a relationship, to the point of losing him actually becomes much more powerful.
I'm not sure which to come to that realization.
Mm-hmm.
I think it probably should be Max, so that feeling of machoism kind of kicks in a little bit, you know, and that kind of lets you see a different side to him than you think he's just a sweet, kind guy, but it'll actually show his strong side as well.
Because, well, he's, if I remember correctly, Max is a lumberjack, right?
Yeah, he's a farm worker.
So, yeah, he's a lumberjack, so he won't have many problems with that.
Yeah. Poor Chase doesn't have a... If you see Chase, he's slick. He's like a little, what we call a slick Rick, so he's...
But well, from what you have shown, from what the book description that you have, he's a mysteriously handsome guy who's 34. But master's degree in applied computer science. I'm sorry, bachelor's degree in applied computer science and master's degree in social analysis and research.
Crazy.
A guy like that being mysteriously handsome, just like the profile of him being, but then again, his career was social media and online advertising. So shouldn't his bachelor be in marketing?
Maybe that's something that him and Lilibeth have in common as well.
Yeah. Because we have to at least show at some point how they, because there's going to be a flashback and how she meet her Chase and how that actually begins to fill out any loopholes in the book, because we can have it, it's just dating, but there's no background to it. And as a reader, you know how much people love backgrounds to characters and specific situations. Because given what Chase does and how he is, it doesn't make sense that he would be able to meet Lily.
No, I was going to have him where he's already a social media executive, and either she's going to be interviewing for a job with him when she gets out of college, like an internship, and that's how they meet, or maybe applying for an internship and he's kind of the executive, and that's a little bit too much 50 Shades of Grey. So let's see. How would they meet? Maybe.
Do you have any friends that are for Lily in Boston?
section on page 9, it has the two guys standing there, and there is...
She should have friends in Boston as well, right?
Right. I'm trying to see if I have any listed.
We could always go for the blind date route.
Huh? That's how they met, a blind date?
Yeah, could be introduced by a friend who has impact while she is in Boston.
Yeah, and she thinks they'll hit it off because they're in the same field.
Yep.
Okay.
It could, you know, it could start out with, since he is a, what's she doing, since she has a marketing communications background, he could have been, he already has a Bachelor of Marketing and Communication. Could have been like, yes, I can help you out in this and this.
Mm-hmm.
So over the time they do this, the relationship starts from there.
Or he could be a tutor for her.
Given how much cash he has, given how rich he is, I don't think he would want to be a tutor.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I forgot it made him rich. Okay. Wow, you have to think of everything.
Yes, when you're writing a book, there's a lot to think about.
I know. I love it. I love it. Okay. Let's see. With Master's degree in social analysis and research. Okay. What was your last suggestion again? My mind got lost in different thoughts.
Well, my last suggestion would be about this, right? About the blind date route.
Blind date route. And then she had maybe her roommate in college. I don't know, that's so overdone. I was going to say her roommate in college fixed him up or...
I have an idea.
Could be a chance meeting.
Well, she's a barista.
Mm-hmm.
People go
thinking.
To drink coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And he's British.
Yeah.
You can start with a visit to a coffee house where he's actually defined as a very snobby, rich brat.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow, even, you know, since he's seriously handsome, Lily still
mm-hmm.
finds him attractive.
Mm-hmm.
To which point his flirt, his unusual, weird, and creepy flirts actually work on her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can do that.
Yep. That actually makes more sense compared to other things.
Yeah, would that makes it more natural.
Nope.
Would that be a problem with her meeting Max that way as well? Because he's going to come into the coffee house after Zoe. That will kind of be a double, almost like a do-over of the same thing.
Hmm. Well, being honest with you,
mm-hmm.
it's pretty normal for a guy to like a barista.
Okay.
And yeah, it's like... And you've even defined her as someone who's slender.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's very attractive, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Since she is attractive and being behind a bar, making coffee.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Then
she's got that...
General barista clothing are more very, you know, half formal, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. But very fitting.
Yeah.
So that actually, yeah.
So she could fall for, I mean, that could be done twice.
Yeah,
we could even,
without being, it
we
being
could,
overdone.
Yeah. We could even put in her character, like, because she is a bit predictable. So it could be like, here's my predictable self falling for someone else who comes to have coffee, you know, something like
yeah.
that.
Yep. It can actually lead to why initially she doesn't go for it, because Chase was already... you know, done the same way, which causes more delays in them falling, like actually going for that relationship.
Perfect. Hey, have you written a book before? You're really good at this.
Well, I like reading a lot of books, and I
Me
don't
too.
Read just books. I read a lot of stuff, fan fiction, comics, plus my
yeah.
interest in being able to manage a project.
And put up with nervous writers. I like
I actually, like, I just started doing this because I like
mm-hmm.
books in general. Otherwise, I have a degree in electronics. So.
Teach English as a second language. So I have a lot of foreign students, and a lot of them have their engineering degree.
Oh. I am an avid fan of physics, so books aren't the only thing I read, which is why I usually can give you a lot of good insights if you want to know about physics. But aside from that, yeah. So, currently, I think we have a good idea on how Chase and she is gonna and Lily's going to meet, and how Max and Lily are going to meet. So I think we're going to have a good discussion on Monday. What do you think?
Okay, yes. And what am I supposed to... I need my assignment again.
Mm-hmm. Well, you don't actually have an assignment. You basically, just think about what the first chapter is going to be, okay? You know the description of the first chapter. It's going to be the passing of the mother and Lily's return to her hometown and reconnecting with initially just a few people, since chapter 2 is going to connect her to Zoe. So by the end of chapter 1, we're just going to introduce Zoe entering into the coffee shop.
Okay. So I'm looking at 4 or 5 scenes. How many scenes do you recommend? 4 or 5 for each chapter?
What?
Scenes?
Scenes, okay. Well, it kind of depends. We can't actually define a standard for every scene. Because, like, put it this way. Initially, the first chapter is not going to be that big, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if we are to say chapter 4 or, you know, the grave visit chapter 6, those are going to be long chapters. Chapter 9 is going to be a huge chapter. So it depends on from chapter to chapter, the length is going to change. There's not going to be a standard length to this kind of story.
Right. I understand. It just depends on how it flows. I'm just a kind of a planner, general guidelines type of gal. So, yeah.
But this kind of story is more of a, that it's my recommendation, keep it more of a go with the flow kind of thing.
Yeah, it kind of just happens as you think about it.
Yeah.
It just develops as you start creating the world.
Yep. Because in book writing, you can't just be like sit down one day and define the entire book and expect it to not change. Because the description, as things progress, you're going to have more ideas like you have now. Like when we talked on the first call, you had a few different ideas. Now we talk, you have a few different ideas.
Right.
So as the book's going to develop, that's why I'm going to constantly be in communication with you. So if you want to make any tweaks to any point in time or any chapter, you can do that as well. That's why we keep a strong communication. To keep
when do you,
and
want,
Lou,
sorry. When do you want, when do you want me to connect Chase and the background information on Chase and Lilibeth, where they go on, he likes her as a barista. What chapter would that be in?
I think put it in chapter 4, where it starts to put a strain on the relationship.
Okay. So we'll just kind of do a
flashback
of when they first. Okay.
We can start off with them having a small fight where a discussion of how they met comes up, and then the flashback begins, you know?
Yeah. My concern in this, too, I guess I'll have to watch as it develops, is there's not enough intensity and... Not intensity, that's not the word I'm looking for. It doesn't keep the reader on the edge of their seat yet, you know?
There's not enough kick to it, right?
Yeah, I'm worried about interest and kick, yeah.
Well,
maybe it'll just happen as it develops.
Well, the thing is, this book is a very, I would say, if I'm to define it, it's going to be a slight slice of life feel to it, so it's going to be a bit mellow and slow,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So intensity, or let's say impact, is mostly in books that have a lot of changing situations.
Mm-hmm.
And they carry a hint of mystery. But in a book of romance, if we put in too much drama, because this is a very, you're going for a very natural-looking setup, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The problem with most romance is that they put in way too much cliche, and which just ruins
mm-hmm.
the book, the feel of the book.
Right.
Some people like that, but I personally don't. I personally like, yes, a slow-developing natural romance.
Right.
So it kind of depends on what feel you want to go for. Do you want to go for something impactful? The more impact you add to it, it's going to reduce the natural feel of the
mm-hmm.
book.
Yeah. So I'm going to have to keep the characters interesting in order to keep the reader interesting.
That's why I told you, you need to have a very strong character background.
Right.
Because
right.
your kick is, like, your impact book, if I would call it, out of this series,
mm-hmm.
is going to be the follow-up of book one, where the dad is revealed.
Yes, that's where the most of the conflict is going to come in.
Because that's
going to
carry a lot of drama.
Yeah. Usually book one is kind of informative, but I don't want to lose my reader.
Hmm.
Okay. So do you need me to do anything else?
Because it kind of depends on what impact you want. However, I think we have enough twists given that there's going to be cheating. There's going to be just going to be loss.
Mm-hmm.
Enlightenment at this point. And there's going to be a lot of stuff going on in this book. You don't have to worry about keeping the reader interested. But you're going to have to, because it has a strong start of a mother's death.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to need to have a strong closing as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So the strong closing, we're kind of pushing for, well, there's going to be the confrontation between Max and Chase, but I think Max is going to have some sort of realization that he's in love with Lily. We're going to have to hint that Lily is at least in love with him, or should. But I mean, like, the rule of thumb with romance is the guy gets the girl in the end. So that's like the major number one rule of thumb.
Well, we can put it in the other perspective as well, like in chapter 9, rather than keeping it as vice versa, we can just keep it as Lily gets attracted to Max, but Max doesn't have feelings for her at that time.
Okay.
So when Chase is introduced,
mm-hmm.
and everything happens, we can end it with, yeah, Max also starts to have feelings and blah. We can, you know, develop it into a situation.
Okay.
But I think that chapter 9 and 10 are so far off right now. I think we would understand around chapter 6, chapter 9 and 10 are going to progress.
Okay. Yeah, I agree.
It's too early to decide how exactly that fight between Max and Chase is going to happen.
Okay.
Because I think we're also going to need one character at least from Lily's life in Boston who should play a role in this book.
Yeah, I could make her a friend or another student who she's somewhat friends with or close friends with and secretly likes Chase.
Could be a roommate as well.
Yeah, I was thinking
about that. You're moving to a different city. Usually you're going to be in an apartment with someone. You're just not going to be, especially when you're moving from a small town, you're not going to be rich enough to afford a solo apartment.
Yeah. Well, I was going to have her in the dorm, so, you know.
Yeah, could be your dorm room, you know, two girls.
Yeah.
A small group of friends, but, you know, one best friend that you hang out with.
I had a roommate from Boston. My dorm.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that's why I made change from Boston. Okay.
So this book is going to have a lot of flashbacks in order to clear up the story.
Flashbacks are actually my specialty.
Ah, so well. But it looks like you're going to have to give a few. Like,
yeah.
In the grave visit, it's probably good to, you know, talk about the time Lily left. You know, when they decided to leave for Boston, the conversation between them and then Lily arriving at the location, like arriving in Boston and getting used to the environment, being alone, or in a group of different people.
I think I'm going to do that when I explain her and Zoe's friendship redeveloping.
Ah, that's also good. That's also good.
Yeah.
But this is my opinion again, because I'm thinking when she remembers all of that, because after chapter 6, she's going to lean on her, you know, longtime best friend Zoe. It's good to leave some part of that story of her, you know, leaving in chapter 6. We should keep her leaving, the entire conversation of her leaving for Boston in chapter 3, but discuss her life starting in Boston in chapter 6.
Okay.
When she goes to visit her mother's grave.
Ah, okay. So that'll transition it into the other one. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, because that would help, you know, create the emotion of wanting to rely on somebody else since the mother's not here. So the second person that would come to her mind would be Zoe.
Yeah. And then at that point, we'll explain why she had to leave her small town and... Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we have a good idea of how we're going to develop this. So I guess this is a good call.
Yes.
So, Monday, be good?
Yes. Yes, sir. And I'll have some scenes ready for you.
Perfect. We're also going to talk about the introduction, because the book's going to need a small introduction as well. Usually helps. Okay?
Mm. Okay. All right.
So you have your work cut out for you, and I have mine cut out for me. So let's meet on Monday and discuss this, okay?
Okay. God bless. You have a good one.
You too. You too. Have
okay,
a good day, and have a good weekend. Bye.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.